Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's so good to see you. If I have not met you before, my name is Tim Ward. I am the pastor here at Crossroads, and I'm just so grateful that you're here. And if you're new today, if you're a guest with us, we want to especially welcome you, whether it's online or in person. If you're here in person and you're a guest, we have a new welcome center out here, which is just in the center past the doors, that somebody would love to connect with you and talk to you. And I hope that you'll consider doing that because we want to know you and connect with you. Before I speak today, I want to offer a prayer again. And I don't know if you've noticed, because they're kind of dimmed, but the lights on the side are lit up today in solidarity with Ukraine. There is so much, friends, that is going on there that I can't understand, that I can't explain. There are people who ask me questions, why is this happening? And all I can say is that I think it's absolutely terrible and horrible. People who are fleeing and don't know where they're going and what they're doing, and people who are terrified of their reality. I believe in a God that's powerful, a God that can do big things. So I want to pray, not simply for God to fix it, but for God to push us to do whatever we can do. So let's pray. God, we pray for you to be God as you are, and for us to respond as you've called us to. God, what's going on in Ukraine is terrible. It is absolutely amazingly difficult to watch people being displaced from their homes. God, people losing their lives, people being terrified, little children being harmed. And while we pray for the people of Ukraine, God, we also pray for the people of Russia who have been placed in this position, who are having to do these things that cause harm. And we pray for the rest of the world, God, that we would respond as you call us to respond, as we search for tangible ways that we as the church can go and respond. Give us that wisdom, God. And while we pray for that, we hold that intention, God, today, as we've heard about people who are simply longing to have jobs that give them enough to eat and be sheltered. And we pray for that. And we hold that reality in tension with the individual stories that go on in this community here at Crossroads and in this greater community, Ashburn and Loudoun County and Northern Virginia. God, let us show more grace this week. Let us be bold in the ways that we love and care for people. And let us connect with one another as we connect with the world. So God, as I speak today, give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understanding. Push us, encourage us as we take this different perspective of Jesus and allow our hearts to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you've been here the last few weeks, you've saw us talking about this book, Renegade Gospel, and you've saw us selling those out there, and there's some more out there today. We're in this series, and we do series here at Crossroads that may go anywhere from 3 to 6 or 7 weeks, where we dive more deeply into a topic. And this one is going to be during a season the church calls Lent. And if that's a new word for you, that's okay. That's a word that the church uses. It's one of those weird and funny words that talks about a season. A season of time that starts from Ash Wednesday, which we did on Wednesday night, which I talked about was a time of doorway, entrance into deep connection with God, and goes all the way until Easter Sunday, which is a big celebration in the life of the church as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Now, if you're here today and you're like, I don't know what Lent is, I have lived much of my life not knowing what Lent was. I knew that it was something that the Catholics did, and it had to do with giving up chocolate and soda. That's what I knew about Lent. And I didn't fully understand why folks gave up chocolate and soda. That wasn't a real big deal to me, but it was something that people did. But that's not really the purpose of Lent, just to give something up. I mean, the design of that was so that people could fast, so that whenever they wanted those things, it would take them to a place of thinking about God and thinking about Christ and their relationship with Christ. But Lent is really supposed to be designed to be a time to pause, a time of reflection in our lives, a time to focus on Jesus, to focus on our connection with Christ. And in fact, it's modeled, the reason it's 40 days in this period is, it's modeled after Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days. And that's where that time comes from. So I do love that the church, in sort of this churchy calendar, gives us a time to pause, to be still, to think about our relationship with God, to do some introspective work. That's why we encouraged folks to join a small group for this time. And like I said, there's still time to do that. You can go today, right after worship. And if you can't make every week, that's okay. But it's a time to really come with others and do introspective work. But we're in this series, and we're in this series about Jesus, and we're going to talk about how Jesus was a rebel, renegade gospel, the rebel Jesus, and we're going to talk about how Jesus wasn't potentially what you thought of growing up or maybe what you think of now. When I was in the church and I was growing up, I saw this picture of Jesus. I don't know if you all ever saw this picture. That Jesus is very white. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense because Jesus grew up in the Middle East. Right, I haven't seen a lot of Middle Eastern people that look that white. It also looks like Jesus in this picture has just come out of the salon, having his hair done. He had highlights done. It looks nice. And also, his garments have been pressed by the local cleaners. Right, things that really don't align with the picture of Jesus. I was actually just reading an article the other day about how this picture became so famous in the Western world of Jesus when it doesn't depict the likeness of Jesus at all. It doesn't look, how many people had a picture like this in their house, in their church, anywhere growing up? Okay, several of us, right? And it doesn't align with the picture that the Bible gives us of Jesus or the location that Jesus comes from. So in this series, we're going to try to deal with some of the notions or the ideas we have about Jesus and how to dig deeper to get to the real Jesus. Now, what I want to say to you, and somebody told me this week this could come off as offensive, so I want to deal with this. Jesus is more like a rebel than Jesus is like Mr. Rogers. Now, that doesn't mean Mr. Rogers is bad. That just means we often like to make Jesus this cool little cuddly guy that's our friend that walks with us. Yet when we read about the Jesus in the Bible, Jesus is more like a rebel, going after things that are important, standing up against injustice and oppression and pushing the limits on things, not like the cuddly character of, I want to be your friend. So we're going to dive deeply into this. Why is this important? Why does it matter? Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first reason we should know who Jesus is because we talk about how we want to be more like Jesus. That's part of our mission statement here at the church. How can you be more like someone you don't know? Right? Many of us have different notions of Jesus. Many of us have preconceived notions of who we want Jesus to be because that makes us feel comfortable. But we have preconceived notions of a lot of people, right? We have things that we know about them. It isn't abnormal. I've said to people before, I'm a big fan of Jimmy Fallon. I am pretty sure that if Jimmy Fallon knew me, we would be really good friends, right? Why? We have many similarities. Jimmy Fallon's funny. I'm funny, right? Jimmy Fallon can sing. I like to sing. Jimmy Fallon's really good friends with Justin Timberlake. I feel like I could be good friends with Justin Timberlake, right? There are all these things about Jimmy Fallon that I'm like, we would be such good friends. But the truth is, I know nothing about that guy. I know the public persona that he puts on his show and in a few SNL skits that I thought were really funny. But the truth is, if we don't really know someone, how can we grow to be like them? And we have to dive deeper, and that's the gift that Lent gives us. It gives us this opportunity to dive deeper, to find out more about the character of Jesus, to learn more about him so that we can live like him. But here's the second reason that I think this is really important. I think it's really important because I believe what the world needs is the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that we've created and shared with the world. What the world needs is the Jesus that comes through in the pages of the Bible, not the Jesus that makes us really comfortable as we sit in here. What the world needs is this Jesus that's a rebel that stands up against oppression, injustice. So in the book by Mike Slaughter, and I've had a couple people say, hey, there are a couple things I disagree with in this book. Awesome. That's really good. If you agree with everything a writer writes, that would blow my mind. But as you dive into this and as you find out these pieces that are really important that he's saying, what he pushes in the very early parts of the book is that we have created a Jesus that is boring for the world. We have made Jesus this character that's really passive, that has no passion. And I'm not saying we as Crossroads, I'm saying we as the church. So the Jesus that we present to the world is not the Jesus that's standing out on the lines, that's standing up against the really hard things. Often we give this cuddly Jesus. And Christianity isn't growing in our country today. The church is not revealing this Jesus that's compelling to the world. The rates of growth of those who have no faith is rapidly increasing. But do you know where Jesus and Christianity is growing? It's growing in places in the world where it's illegal to have faith in Christ. Because people go out and they stand out in these places and they say, "Let me tell you why it matters." And that is not to the exclusion of others. Please don't hear that. But in places where it is illegal to practice Christianity, that's where people are seeing rampant growth. It's like the early church. The early church grew because people talked about the boldness of Christ. Friends, I think our world needs to know the rebel Jesus. Our world needs to experience the Jesus that's willing to stand up for the refugee, that's willing to stand up for the person on the outskirts, that's willing to stand up for the person who is struggling, the person who has pain. So I want to take us today to a passage that I don't know how we read this passage and see a Jesus that is really calm and a Jesus that is really comforting, because this Jesus pushes things. This comes from the gospel according to Mark, and it's a story where Jesus goes into a temple, a synagogue, and the synagogues would have been sort of the offshoots in the small towns from the temple. So the temple was the place where people would go once or twice a year, but the synagogues were where they would go weekly to worship and to pray and to connect with each other. And this passage comes from a place called Capernaum where the people are doing this. And Jesus enters this place to teach. And I want to encourage you to pay attention in this text to the authority that Jesus has in his teaching. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. I want you to think about what happens in this story. If you read this passage and nothing else from the Bible, does Jesus come across more as a rebel or as Mr. Rogers? That's not just rhetorical. Which one do you think? He's a rebel, okay. Because Jesus is going in there and he's doing something, and there's a word here that's mentioned that terrifies most of us. What is wrong with this person? They are demon-possessed, right? That's one of the translations says. They have an impure spirit in them. And don't worry, I'm not going to get to talking all about demons and all that kind of stuff. But this would be the scene for a great movie. Jesus walks into this place. Jesus is teaching with authority, unlike all the rest of the teachers. It wouldn't be weird that Jesus was teaching. That's what happened in the synagogues. But it is strange that Jesus is teaching with such power and authority and interrupted by this person who is dealing with this really difficult thing. And what I want to say to you is, in the first century, a lot of times when they couldn't identify what was going on with someone, they would say they had an impure spirit or they were demon-possessed. Maybe someone was dealing with some sort of mental illness or some sort of struggle or something like that, but that was the phrase that was often used because that was the knowledge of the time and the thing that was comfortable. So again, it's not remarkable that Jesus is teaching, but I want you to look not at the fact that he's teaching, but at the way that Mark describes it. He's teaching as one with incredible authority. Unlike the other teachers of the law, Jesus is coming in saying, "I am fully confident in the message that I'm giving you. Fully confident in the words." As if Jesus has authority, as if Jesus has been commissioned and empowered to declare the reign of God or the kingdom of God coming into people's lives. Jesus is saying, this is important stuff. What I bring you matters. What I'm saying to you can absolutely transform your life. This was a big deal. His teaching, which you'll see more if you read more of the gospel, it's intrusive. It breaks boundaries. It pushes people out of their comfort zone. Jesus is not one that just comes in and sticks with the status quo. He comes in and tries to shake the world up. His teaching is different than anything the people have heard before. It shocks them. I mean, if you read the text and the subtext in there, what's going on? Why is this happening? Because Jesus' teaching is unlike the teaching of the law that they've heard before. The teaching of the law that they were told before was teaching to keep them down, to keep them in their box, to make sure they all did the right things. And Jesus' teaching is to liberate them. Jesus is coming to say, I want you to be free. To be free who God created you to be free to live your story. It's a liberating theology, and that's a liberating study of God. And it's really, really important to understand this. It's about articulating God's intentions for the world. Let's go back and look again. This message is making a profound difference. The people were amazed at his teaching in verse 22 because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Now that's powerful because then it takes us to the next part of the story. This is a really cool interaction. He's in the middle of the teaching. The man with the unclean spirit comes up, or demon possessed, or whatever we want to say. And the man goes and has an exchange with Jesus. There's an interaction with Jesus. He's not so much afraid of interacting with Jesus. He just doesn't want what's going to happen for Jesus to do. Jesus says, the man says, what do you want with us? Now, that was a language that would have been used if people had multiple things going on in their lives at one time. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Do you hear the declaration in the voice of this person who's struggling? Hey, folks, this one is God. This one is really God. Be prepared because this one's going to change your life. This one's going to stir things up and make things uncomfortable for us. Jesus has come to change things. And then Jesus drops this proverbial mic in the middle of the discussion, and he says, be quiet. Well, that's a lot of authority, right? To just say, be quiet. You didn't know this person. Be quiet. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out with a shriek. Now, outside of being absolutely terrified if you witnessed this happen, can you imagine the power in this moment? The power of witnessing somebody's life completely transformed, completely changed right there in that moment simply for getting to interact with Jesus. And maybe what happened that day was for the first time in this guy's life, he's told he's valuable. That he doesn't just have to get out because he's dealing with the thing that he's dealing with. Maybe it's because he feels that he is honored in that moment and cared for and loved. Whatever it is, all Jesus says is, get out. Jesus is about getting it done. He's about changing the reality of the situation for this guy. In this moment, Jesus doesn't say, go away and pray about it. Jesus doesn't say, I hope you feel better. Jesus doesn't write him a card. Jesus says, get out. And he's not talking to the guy. He's talking about the thing in his life that's holding him down. The thing that's keeping him from being able to live the life that he was created to live. Now, we could say this is an exorcism. I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. I think in this moment, this guy is given value and freedom and love, but given it in a way that says, stop thinking about yourself that way. Get out is the language that Jesus uses. This is the way that Jesus shows up. It's the way that Jesus shows his ultimate authority in this moment. Friends, this is powerful stuff. One cannot read this story, and this is one of many, and simply think that Jesus is sweet and cuddly. Do you know why I think we do that? You know why I think we make that version of Jesus? Because that version of Jesus doesn't really make us do anything. That sweet and cuddly Jesus, which, you know, growing up in a church, what a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, that's great. Jesus never says in the Bible, I came to be your friend. Jesus says, I came to challenge you, to push you, to encourage you. And that doesn't mean that Jesus can't comfort us in the middle of our lives. In fact, Jesus says at the end, I leave you with the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the comforter, as if Jesus is saying, all right, this is the other parent that's going to comfort you. But Jesus comes to upset the apple cart, not to leave things as status quo. But then I think about that individual. So it's great that Jesus is doing all these things and all these people see all this stuff. But how about the individual who's liberated in that moment? How about the individual who's affected by the rebel Jesus? How about the individual who may feel like for the first time in a really long time that they can walk in somewhere and everybody doesn't stare at them? That they can be who they are and they can be loved because Jesus has given them value in that moment. Friends, the more we come to understand the rebel Jesus, the more we will be like him. Our vision in this church, our calling to welcome all people and to love all people only can be fully lived out if we act like the rebel Jesus. Because the rebel Jesus doesn't think it's okay that somebody's left out on the outside. The rebel Jesus doesn't think it's okay if somebody is oppressed. The rebel Jesus doesn't think it's okay if somebody who looks differently than you isn't loved and welcomed. The rebel Jesus doesn't think it's okay if we look down on people who believe things that are different than us. The rebel Jesus doesn't think it's okay what's going on in Ukraine right now. And if we want to be more like Jesus, we have to take on this rebel nature where we call out injustice and oppression. I want to encourage you during these next 6 weeks to pick up a Bible. If you don't have one, I've got some out here. I'll give you on your way out. And I want to encourage you to read the Gospel according to Luke. That's the third one in the New Testament. And I want to encourage you to read it. You know, you might have read it 100 times, but I want you to read it from the perspective of this rebel Jesus. See how your perspective might shift. See how you might come to understand Jesus differently than maybe you've understood Jesus before. Not as an oppressor, which the church that I grew up in taught me Jesus was one that kept me down and I had to do certain things. But a liberator with an edge. A liberator who wants the whole world to be liberated. And I want to encourage you to read it and underline the moments where you see people being relieved of their demons. And I use that word not because I think there are all these demons in people. I use that word because I think what Jesus does is he comes and liberates us from the things that hold us down. From the things. You might have voices that come into your head often. And those voices might say, you're not good enough, you're not valuable, you're not worthy. And the rebel Jesus comes to say, get rid of those voices. Get out. And that's the message that I want to invite you into during this season of Lent. To hear about a Jesus that wants to change the world and transforms the world and wants to push us as a church to do the same thing. I want to encourage you to read that. Then I want to encourage you to do something else. I want to encourage you to discover this rebel Jesus, to try him on. Oh, you actually want us to do some of that stuff? Yeah, I do. I want you to try it on. What does it look like to actually follow Jesus? What does it look like to actually do the things that Christ calls us to do? What does that look like in your life? Try on the rebel Jesus. Try to be more like him. What it may mean is that you need to go and build a relationship with somebody who is struggling right now in their lives. Because maybe the message you need to give them is a message of liberation, a message of freedom. It may mean that you have to worry less about sharing all the things that other people must believe and think more about how to live out this thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may mean that you have to step out for or against something that you feel really strongly about and compelled about. I don't know what it is for your story, but I would encourage you, whatever it is, do it. Try on the rebel Jesus. Jesus was not a sweet, cuddly white man with flowing blonde hair. Not at all. Jesus was this rebel, a man without a home, moving from place to place, to bring liberation and transformation to the world. My prayer is that we collectively experience that this Lent. Amen.